Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Very pleased to have back with us today on our Straight Talk program, Pastor C.T. Kirk, who is a man of many seasons. He's involved with all kinds of stuff. He's an educator. He's a preacher. He's an author. I mean, the list goes on and on. Is there anything you haven't done?
I'm thinking now.
Well, welcome back, buddy. Good to see you as always.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Tell everybody who has not met you yet a little bit about your background.
Okay, I'm a teacher at South Middle School in Lancaster, South Carolina. I've been teaching now for almost 10 years. I am the author of 3 books. I'm available on Amazon. And I also pastor the Sanctuary of Life Outreach Center, married to the beautiful, wonderful Monique Kirk, and we have 3 children.
3 children. 22, 15, and 10?
Yes, sir.
22, 15, and 10. And the 22-year-old is working on their master's in nursing?
Yes, my daughter Nayla's working on her master's degree in nursing.
Her.
Yes.
So if you see Nayla up at Piedmont Medical Center in Fort Mill, say we heard the old man on the air today.
That's right.
So you have been working with kids as long as I've known you, which has been a long time. And I think this is the first time maybe we really sat here and talked about teen violence. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. It is everywhere. It's in the news almost every day, whether it be locally or regionally or across the country. We just saw what happened here at a celebration for the Kansas City Chiefs and their Super Bowl victory. Somebody whips out a gun, starts shooting. One young mother is killed. A couple of kids were injured. What is going on? Have you figured it out?
One thing I know that our children do not know how to handle conflict. Like they used to, long gone are the days where you meet in the courtyard or you meet when you get off the school bus and you fight. Now it's thinking that now people are thinking about quick ways of ending the drama. And so it's sad to say that guns are becoming the way that more and more people are dealing with situations. And it's a very scary time we're living in. It's almost like we're back in the old town, the old West, where you just pull out your gun and just shoot. And that's how you handle conflicts.
So do you think that is brought on a lot by, oh my gosh, I guess just the world we live in? The kids now play video games. It's all about shooting this person or shooting that thing.
One of the factors that I've seen when it comes to teen violence is a lot of it is a low parent involvement. Children don't have opportunities to share their feelings with their parents, or their parents sit down with them around the table, talk to them about their day. Get involved in school, and our communities are starting to become just simply strangers in a neighborhood, where it used to be communities of people that actually sat around the table, talked to each other. You know, somebody knew somebody around the corner that would call your mother and tell them how you were acting. And before you even got home, be able to discuss what was going on, they already knew. And so we're seeing a lot of these things add to, as well as our high dependency on technology. You can go to a restaurant now and families are not even engaging in talking. Everybody has their cell phone. And so a lot of these things are adding to why our teenagers are feeling so left out of conversation and parental engagement.
Well, with all that being said, you know, people are looking for solutions. And I've mentioned, I don't know how many times on this program, and you just said it again, the basic structure of a home like we used to have when I was growing up, where you had a lot of discipline, where you had the neighborhood as a neighborhood, not a bunch of strangers, as you say, in a neighborhood, that's all disappeared. I mean, social media, craziness that's going on there. The fact that both parents have to work to put food on the table. So, I mean, these are a lot of balls that are up in the air. Has CT figured out a way to solve this?
I think that our generation now is pushing for more individualism instead of community. You don't see people even attending regular church services anymore as much as it is attending things that bring the individual level happiness. And so our children really don't have a structure, a solid foundation in which community looks like. And so when community is dissolved, then what happens is you start thinking about what makes you happy, what makes you go, and you're driven by who don't like you. You're driven by who's different from you rather than embrace what a community really looks like. It's about a group of people that come together from different backgrounds but have a same common purpose. And we got to get our young people to understand that there's a common purpose to being able to live within our community and within our earth. And so they haven't found that yet. And so many of them are angry. Like you said, the low parent involvement, a lot of times we see in schools, the only time we really see parents is when they're coming to get on the teacher or they're upset about the grade, rather than the volunteering parents that we used to have that made even the child that didn't have a father feel like he had a father because he had a community around him.
Well, I think we all know the importance of having both parents in the home. But with that being said, we also know a lot of people who are single parents who've done a great job. Mm-hmm. And they have disciplined their children. They know the kids know that they can come to mom or dad, whoever's there, to help them with a particular problem. But that, I'm looking for solutions, and I don't know how you get parents to become parents. What is missing? I mean, why, when they see what's happening in their own neighborhoods, why aren't they becoming more engaged? I mean, I'm sure the churches are a big part of most families' lives, particularly in this region of the country. What's it going to take?
Well, I think one thing that my mom did was mom was very engaged in our schooling, and she was very engaged in who our friends were. She would search our room on a Saturday. She'd go in there and clean, and there was no way that we could hide a gun or a knife or a weapon in our house without my mother finding it. And so I think more engagement, I think that we need to really have these real conversations, and we need to be very aware of who our children are hanging around with. You know, who are their parents? Who are their grandparents? And so that the more that we know as parents, the nosier we are. I don't know where that sense of, well, is there room within your house, or a child can do what they want to do within the confines of somebody else's home. But we got to get really back to that, really, that being nosy as parents so that we can know what our children are doing all times of the day.
So I'm just wondering what it takes to get a non-engaged parent to become engaged. You obviously, if you bring a child into the world, you want to see them have opportunity. And you know full well that if they don't take advantage of things like school and work hard, they're going to become a statistic rather than being able to achieve what they're capable of achieving. So, again, it gets back to the question I have. How do you get I'm trying to be nice about this, but I'll just say it. How do you get a deadbeat parent to realize that they've got to become more active in their child's life?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It's going to be hard because you got so many distractions now that take away from even parenting, being parent. But it's a lot of great. One thing that our church is hosting is we're allowing strengthening in the families to come in. And it's been a tedious task to get people, because the first thing they think about when you think about strengthening families is that somebody's saying that you're raising your kid is not right. And so I'm not going to go to that because they're going to try to make me look like a deadbeat or something like that rather than getting the tools. And it blows my mind from being a community activist for almost 25 years is that people only come to you when they need help. But the resources have always been there, but you haven't did enough research to be able to find these things that are important. But when it comes to something that builds the individual life, whether it's a new club, whether it's a new hairdo, whether it's a new style of dress, that's easier for us to find through social media. But the things that really are going to mold our minds a lot of times take more effort and more push, or a sad situation, something happens to our child, and now we want to get involved.
Wow. So we're kind of stuck. We know what the problem is. It's, you know, parental involvement is where it starts. But if we know what the problem is, how do we get those that are responsible for the problem engaged? And I don't have an answer for that. It seems to me that we're throwing a lot of this onto the schools, that Johnny and Susie are coming to class. They're hungry. which really disturbs me, that you're bringing a child into the world and they don't have enough to eat. So the kids are coming in hungry. That has to be dealt with before you can ever hope to teach them whatever they need to be taught. I don't know. I'm looking for solutions here. CT,
I try to take as much advantage of the classroom setting as I can. And I had to be that teacher that is able to listen and able to engage, but also making learning fun. And so in my classroom, I always have two minutes of empowerment where I'm able to engage in those conversations to get my young people to see that, you know, there's nothing fun about being in a gang. There's nothing fun about getting strung out on drugs. There's nothing fun about carrying a gun around or throwing up gang symbols. But the key in order to change our lifestyle begins what we do in the classroom. And I think that that's very important for us to take those moments to be able to influence those children when they're very young.
So are you suggesting that maybe in all of the schools that the teachers might want to take 2 minutes at the beginning of the class and say, okay, we know there's some problems here in this classroom. Let's talk about them and see if you can engage.
Socratic methods has always been a way for children to take advantage of their own learning through discussion. And so the teacher poses a question or a scenario, and then the students are able to see within their own answers. A lot of times the importance of the discussion. And so being able to have those discussions, you know, because we're not living in a perfect world. We know we have standardized testing that has nothing to do with what you learn in the classroom. We have subjects that have nothing to do with what you're going to do at that school. But even within those subjects is a opportunity to be able to influence creativity, engagement, and growth. And a lot of times our children don't know how to socialize. So they're either upset when they get questioned because the mom's upset when they get questioned, or they don't know how to have an engagement conversation. And that's where you take away those cell phones, those electronics, and say, let's talk. You know, that's ask the question why. And I find a lot of us as adults, we don't like questions. Like when you say, well, why do you believe a certain political party is stronger than the other? I was raised that way. That's all I ever knew. And our kids are getting these same things where we're not researching, we're not studying, we're not looking at it. 176,000 young people die each year to homicide. Ooh. That is the greatest number of deaths amongst our young people is killing themselves. And so we got to have those conversations of the why, and then ask them the question, where did you get your gun from? Like, how in the world, you didn't go to a store that would license you to get a gun. Where is these guns coming from? And what makes you feel like that it is acceptable to take someone else's life?
My God, 176,000?
176,000.
Good Lord. Well, you know, you hear everybody, the politicians would like you to believe that if you put all these gun control laws in place, that would solve the problem. That's not true. It's not true. When you've got 300 million weapons or something in this country, it's why nobody wants to invade America, because everybody's going to pull out their gun and shoot the bad guys. All right? So that's not it. Obviously, responsible gun ownership is part of it. You know, you shouldn't own a gun unless you had some training and can demonstrate that you're capable of doing it. You don't want to have somebody out there getting a gun who's got mental issues and it's coming unwound. That's the worst thing in the world that could happen. We've seen that time and time again. So I like your idea about trying to get the schools more actively involved in this, although I think they are actively involved, but I'm not a teacher. I don't know. You are. I mean, do you find your other teachers at your school trying to do the same thing, engaging the kids, trying to find out what's in their head?
Yeah, a lot of teachers with Socratic methods, and definitely in the high schools, are asking more of the questions and getting children to be able to journal and respond to those different things is very important to get it out, because, as you said, there are. And I would tell any parent this: if your child has any medical diagnosis, to begin to study those things, to begin to know more so than anything. Don't just rely on the pill popping to fix it, but there are other things that you can do to engage the kid's mind along with them taking their medication. And it's about knowing your child, because if you know your child, then you'll know, hey, I need to lock up my guns extra tight. Maybe I need to remove my guns out of the house and put them somewhere, because a lot of these teens are grabbing guns of their parents and not just being sold in the street like we want to believe, but a lot of these kids are getting guns from the gun owners.
Yeah, I can't imagine, but you're right, it does happen. There's lots of people who have guns, and they just kind of leave them around. How stupid is that? I mean, you're just asking for a problem. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, CT, you pastor a church. Do you find this is a topic that you are dealing with routinely from the pulpit or just one-on-one with members of the congregation?
Yeah, our church is blessed with having a growing youth. You know, we have youth classes that range from the age of when they're barely able to walk all the way up to our teen session. In fact, last month we hosted a service where we had parents of children that were killed through homicide come in and share their stories with our young people. We had kids from DJJ come up just so that you can get the other side of what it means when you take somebody else's life. You think you're killing your enemy or somebody you're having a disagreement with, but you're actually hurting that mother. You're hurting that little brother. I remember me and my mom going to a house of a young man that was killed about 3 or 4 years ago, and his little brother came in and said, "Hey, is my brother coming back?" And the tears that both of us shed, because people don't realize when you take a life that you're not just taking that person's life, you're hurting that whole family. You know, and so being able to get those parents to talk about those things, these parents have not even cleaned out the bedroom of the child because of the hurt they feel every year. One mother has not had any answers. One father had to go through with his son's murderer, only got about 15 years, you know. And so being able to live with those things are very important. And I think when we have those real conversations, our children will see that it's less cool to do these things. Because when you look at it, the rappers that they're listening to, the actors they're watching on TV are going home to mansions. They're not going to communities that they rap about or that they are on television portraying. They're going home to mansions with no guns and security and all this. And so this is being perpetrated to our children. But, hey, this is not even real life with them a lot of times. Or a lot of them have grown out of that and saying, you know what, I'm still going to sing about it or rap about it, but I don't live that life anymore.
You know, CT, when I was in the concealed weapons permit class years ago, because I do have a CWP, I remember the instructor saying, the last thing you want to do is to use this gun. No matter what the circumstance is, it'll change your life forever. If you have to shoot somebody, I don't care what they're doing. They're trying to rob you, trying to kill you. If you have to shoot somebody, that's something that will change you forever. So it's something very seriously that you have to consider if you've got a gun. And I'm sure a lot of these kids have no concept of that. And at their age, firing a gun might seem cool, but the aftermath is something that'll change you forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've seen that.
Oh, yeah, and that's why we definitely want those parents to come in and talk about that, because that aftermath, and a lot of people don't talk about those things, and those things need to be, you know, in our culture, whereas somebody can testify that, hey, when you think you're pulling that trigger, you're destroying families, you're destroying futures, you're killing off a whole generation. You know, you're doing genocide, you know, amongst so many young people. And so I think those real conversations have to be talked about in our classrooms, in our churches, in our communities, that, hey, that, you know. And that's one thing that I like about teaching social studies, is that it shows you those things throughout our history of how, you know, the world. I remember one philosopher basically saying there's a little bit of Adolf Hitler in every man. And so we began to look at these things. Well, what would you do if your hatred really grew that strong? You know, it might not be to the level that he went, but, you know, if given the capability to destroy your enemy, would you do it? And so being able to have those real conversations in our classroom has changed a lot of my children's mind, that here I am now in my 10th year of teaching, that I've only had two children that have passed away, and none of them have been gun violence or any kind of violence. But being able to see so many kids graduate has been a plus. And so I think those 2 minutes of power have really helped to shape young people's mind, to be able to see that, hey, this lifestyle that you think is cool is not cool.
All right, we're going to take our mid-program break and remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. What do? Here we prepare fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week right before your eyes. But there is a magical formula that keeps bringing people back in day after day after day after day. It's in the white letters, and we're going to recite it together at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Last year was a big year for Founders Federal Credit Union and our amazing members. A total of $30 million was given back to qualifying members in the form of loyalty bonus dividends, proving once again that it pays to be a Founders member. Founders is also committed to pouring time and resources into the local communities we serve. If you aren't a member yet, what are you waiting for? Join Founders today. Visit foundersfcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Hey Alex, have you tried that new pastrami on rye at Substation 2?
You're darn right I have, and you should too. It's freshly sliced, lean, delicious, served hot, and piled high. And I understand you better hurry, because it's a limited time offer.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. The Reverend Pastor C.T. Kirk, as he says, a community activist for the last 25 years or so. He's a teacher. He's an author. He's a dad. He's a little bit of everything. And most people know this guy because he's got a good level head and he makes a lot of sense. So we're talking about teen violence. We all agree that it's a very real problem. It's a real problem right here in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I mean, the fact that we would say that we have gangs in this city, gangs, really? We got them. I mean, I've done enough shows with the city police and the county sheriff to know that we have real problems with gangs. So, you've been working on this for years. Give me a success story or two about somebody that was in this predicament, you know, had what I call a deadbeat parent, and you were able to, I don't know, spread the gospel or open an eye or do something so that turned around the whole situation.
And that's one of the privileges I get to work down in Lancaster, South Carolina, because I got a lot of those stories of children that really were a children of a single parent household. And, you know, and many of them will say, well, you be my dad. And, yeah, I'm going to be your dad. I'm going to be your focal point. And so getting the emails from kids that I haven't taught in the last 6 years, that are basically saying, hey, I'm doing good. I'm in college. I just want to thank you. I remember your fifth grade lesson. I remember your sixth grade lesson. I'm still singing some of the songs that you taught us in class, because that's one of the things that we do. We have a classroom song, and the first one is always "What a Wonderful World," and we talk about Louis Armstrong. We talk about how you know the baby will one day be smarter, and that they're going to continue this thing. And so, getting kids to see that even though you're raising this predicament, it's not where you have to stay at. That because of this education, because of the seed that's being planted into your life, and so I have one young man, Materius, who emails me all the time, hey, I'm doing good in school. I made the dean's list. I just want to thank you. And I think that that's why I like going to the school that I go to, because it gives me the opportunity to spread that message of hope. You know, I wish that all preachers did other jobs other than preach, because I think that when you get into the marketplace, when you're bivocational, you're dealing with people with real areas. You know, people that come to our church, a lot of times they can idolize us because that's our preacher. We love him. He knows the word of God. But in my classroom, I'm not Pastor Kirk. I'm Mr. Kirk, the teacher. But the principles that I learned in the church, I'm able to implement them into the classroom without making a religious setting, but being able to show those characteristics of love, of joy, of peace. What does that look like in a man? Because a lot of my students may not have a father, but when they see me, especially as an African-American man, that I smile a lot, I'm happy, I dress up, I want to teach you these values so that you don't have to go the gun route, you don't have to go the gang route, but you can be proud of being who you are. Because my mother, for the longest time, was a single parent mother. I remember growing up in Midtown apartments. I remember growing up in Boy Hill apartments. I remember us sleeping on the floor on a mattress. You know, I remember us mother working all night long to try to get something, but she kept pushing. Two things you're going to do. You're going to go to school, and you're going to go to church. And those are two areas I was never able to leave from, you know, even get the master's degree to pastor. I never left that because that was the foundation in our home. You're going to church, and you're going to school.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And look how you turned out.
Yeah.
Good for you. You did good. Wow. That's the kind of message that you want to hear time and time again. So those students who have seen the light and take the ball and run with it are fewer than those who just don't pay any attention to you. Do you find that those who say they're doing well and they're staying in contact with you, do you find them mentoring other kids like that they see who are in the same predicament they were in, trying to get them going?
A lot of my kids will influence brothers and sisters. So when I get that brother and sister, my brother was in your class and he told me this and he got me doing this and I'm singing this song. They already know the song. They know the routines because their brother and sister is spreading the message. And I always tell my students, one kid can change a whole community. One sure. kid picking up trash, one kid mowing a senior citizen's grass changes the whole trajectory of what we're trying to teach our young people. And that makes our world a lot brighter, because so many times, especially with social media, you see even now comedians are going against each other. Whereas comedians are supposed to make you happy, supposed to make you laugh. Now they're fussing and fighting. They're like, who's going to bring the joy in the world if the people that should be making us laugh are now upset and feuding? Our football players now are getting mad and wanting to fight. And these are the people that are supposed to be entertaining us. But that message of, and I carry this around, that a teacher can be a hero every single day. You have the opportunity of being able to have 20 kids in your classroom that you can help influence to be better. So take those advantages at any given time. And my creed is always, history is not about learning dates, places, or even names, but it's about learning from the accomplishments, the failures of the past, so that we can be better. And so I tell my kids all the time, it didn't take me getting shot to see that ain't what I wanted. It didn't take, you're not going to beat me up in a gang and say we're friends behind that. But let me tell you a positive thing that you can do. You can join a fraternity and be a part of something bigger where you're helping a community. The Kappa Alpha Psi helped me so much. Being able to mentor young boys with our Kappa League. We have 40 guys in high school that we're helping to mentor and helping to train, because, again, that was an area to say, you know what, I can be a part of something great, I can be a part of something positive, or I can be a part of something negative.
We only have about 20 seconds left, and I'm sure part of your conversations with your students also say, you know what, just because this guy looks different than you, because he's white and you're black, or he's fat and you're skinny, doesn't mean that they're not a good person.
That's right. That's right. And we got to end that whole stereotypical way of our – we got to stop wanting to have problems and issues with each other and find commonality. Besides me and your skin color being different, you still have the same eyes I have. You have a nose. You have ears. We got more in common.
We bleed the same way, don't we?
Bleed the same way.
All right, good. CT, you always do a good job when you're on here. Thanks for all that you're doing. Keep it up. All right?
Thank you so much, family.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, we're going to do this one more time. We're going to tell everybody what the heck we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. It's called Fresh Subs and it's called Fresh Salads. How do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.